Welcome to the Inspire Careers Spotlight Series, presenting informational, educational, and entertaining interviews and insights about today's leading career management topics. Your host is Kathy Lanzalaco, CEO of Inspire Careers. Kathy is a member of the Forbes Coaches Council and an award-winning resume writer. Inspire Careers provides career marketing support to executives and professionals and is home to the Inspire Careers Student Professional Launch Program, the only new college graduate success program in the country. Follow Kathy on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for new career-related content shared daily, and visit inspirecareers.com to learn more about Kathy and her unique career path from registered nurse to HR leader to entrepreneur, business owner, and podcast host. The podcast you're about to listen to can also be found as a video podcast on the Inspire Careers YouTube channel.
Hi friends, Kathy Lanzalaco here with another episode of Inspire Career Spotlight on Careers, the video podcast series where I interview career professionals from all across the career management space to help bring you best-in-class information and information that you need to help advance you in your careers. And today I am very excited to welcome to the podcast very special guest, Heidi Scott-Justo. Hi, Heidi.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Heidi is a peer of mine. We have spoken at conferences. We've run into each other at women's conferences in different states. It's been kind of cool. So the last time I saw her and we were together unexpectedly, I said that must be a sign I needed to invite her on the podcast. So let me introduce her to you all. And I'm really excited for what she has to share with you. But let me tell you a little bit about Heidi before we get started. Heidi Scott-Justo is a writer, editor and communications consultant and owner of Career Path Writing Solutions, which is a consulting firm dedicated to helping people communicate when it matters most. She collaborates with clients from diverse professional backgrounds and helps job seekers land satisfying jobs that advance their careers. When working with authors, which is something we're really going to talk about too, she specializes working on business, leadership, and self-help books. She earned a PhD in history from Duke University and holds certifications in resume writing, LinkedIn optimization, and interview coaching. Heidi recently published her first co-authored book, The Third Paradigm, A Radical Shift to Career Success through Entrepreneur Press, and it reached number one in Amazon Workplace Culture. Congratulations, Heidi.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Awesome. That's awesome. And I was going to say the other proof that it is, I think, ordained that we speak to is you went to Duke University. My mate was Duke. So there.
Oh, my goodness.
No relation, sadly, no relation to university, but whatever. But anyway, hi.
Destin.
I'm happy to have you here today. But before we get in, because I have a lot to ask you and a lot that I want to share with the audience, you know, there's just so much happening out there about communication and content and how that interfaces with careers. But why don't you just tell us a little bit about yourself to help lay the foundation here for a conversation?
Yeah, so as you just so kindly introduced, I have my business and I've been doing that for 11 years full time. And just kind of big picture personally, I live in North Carolina. I attended Duke and my family and I decided to stay rooted right here. And we love it. And I'm originally from Ohio and I have gone through some career change, just like a lot of the people that I work with. And so I got into this field. It's really funny because when I look back, I always had this entrepreneurial like spirit in me. I look back and remember in my parents' basement, I would have play office and I would save money so I could get remember the old school calculators with the tape and the big buttons, loved buttons. And I had a ledger and I remember playing office in the summer for like a few summers of like, I really did it up. And I felt as everybody does, I followed my interests in school and that led me to earning what I kind of joke about a collection of degrees in history because I have a bachelor's, a master's and a PhD. And all along while I was training to become a historian and become a history professor, I kept him in the back of my mind, like, what side business am I going to have? My husband would toss our ideas around too because he saw it in me. And that's just silly to even think that, because if I actually had wanted to be a professor, like you're really busy doing course development and getting your first book out. And oh, by the way, I had two kids in grad school. So yeah. I was going down this one path, but I recognized there's this bug in me of entrepreneurship. And I had the awkward realization that kind of this like rinky-dink job I had at Duke's writing studio, and it was an amazing job, but people, grad students viewed it that way as like, well, I'm working as a writing consultant because I need money.
Yeah.
And I kept saying yes. Semester after semester after semester, I kept my job as a writing consultant. So talk about an awkward realization that, okay, I've dedicated it, all told, it was about 12 years of my life to be a history professor, only to realize, okay, actions speak louder than words. And I keep going into this path of business and love. I loved working with writers. So I did some internal soul searching, which I'm sure you have, you know, that probably some of your clients do too. What do they really want? And you've probably done maybe a time or two in your own career. And I came to CareerPath Writing Solutions, and I'm so glad that I did. And that's what I've been doing now ever since for 11 years, almost as long as I studied history. So that's a kind of a long story, but I share it because I know a lot of people go through career transitions and it's not always comfortable or fun, but it's usually worth it.
It is. And I know in my own career, I tell the story a lot about how my first career was a registered nurse, and I did that for 12 years. And then I went into HR leadership and I did that for another 15. And for those of you doing the math out there, shame on you. Don't eat that all up. And then I started my own business. So, but I don't know what you think about this, Heidi, but you know, you coach people on career, on their career strategies and developing their career marketing tools. And we're going to talk about that in a minute, but don't you find it that it is helpful and that it, when you come from a background where your career has taken twists and turns and things didn't always work out, not in a bad way, but work out the way you may have planned, right? I thought you were going to say that you were an accountant at first with your little, you know, your little.
Oh, no. I thought about that. I was an accounting major for a hot minute undergrad, but then realized felt boring.
Yeah, there you go. See, it just shows how many things we can do. But I do think it's comforting when we're working with clients that are in transition to know that we have gone before. We have done those things. And so while we can tell them actually theoretical strategies, we know what works, we have also walked that walk. And I think people appreciate that, don't you?
I do. And something I didn't bring up, but what I found is what it captivates, or not captivates, what people find interesting is when I say that I worked in a factory for almost 6 years. So I did, I did that as well. My senior year of high school through earning my master's degree. And that was, I quit right before I got married, and then we moved down to North Carolina for me to pursue my PhD. And I worked at the world's largest ice cream cone manufacturer. I worked midnights. So that is, I worked different shifts, but largely midnights. So you that also a really different type of work that when people find out that, oh, you've, like, I wore a hairnet and earplugs to work for many years, people find it interesting I think relatable. We share stories and it's relatable, and people then kind of, it can help them get where they're going when they hear, as you just said, like people who've been down this road before.
Yeah. I mean, I think the best career stories are the ones that show how things may not have gone down the path you anticipated, but it doesn't make them any less interesting. And it really shows a collective of experience, but what's behind that experience, right? Your problem-solving skills, your creativity skills, your ability to adapt and react and to plan forward and to continue to pursue your dreams, which I think the more and more we get into this world of where authenticity is valued, and, you know, we've got AI now. So now we talk really more and more about being human and humanizing yourself online. I think that's ever most important is to tell our personal story so that people can see themselves within it and know that really we are all the same, and many of us have had so many of these same experiences.
Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. But tell us a little bit about your business. So you're working with authors, and I know you've worked with some pretty well-known authors as well. Tell us a little bit about that, and then tell us about your job with Career Services and the type of clients you work with, and how you think that, you know, that you're managing both of those sides of your communication, because it's just communicating in different ways.
Yeah.
Really, what is that commonality and the benefit that your clients get from that?
Yeah, wonderful. Well, I'll start with that last part. So everything I do is united around helping people communicate when it matters most. That is what I am dedicated to. That is what I do day in and day out. What that looks like looks different depending on the client. Mm-hmm. But there are clients who, so that your typical job seeker, what that looks like is often through written and oral communication, right? Resumes, cover letters, LinkedIn, interview prep. So helping them persuasively communicate the value they will be bringing to a future employer. If I work with a small business owner or a consultant who's wanting to get their name and brand out there more, right? It's slightly different, but it is still typically going to be around LinkedIn, maybe a little bit of website consulting around the messaging. But the idea of communicating your value, your ideas, it's, I come to this not from, say, like an HR background, but from a writing background. And good writing has, shall I say, timeless principles that that you can apply to all different genres of writing. So then the book authors, kind of how that fits in, because I know within career services, it feels kind of maybe a little weird.
Different, yeah.
You do these books too, interesting. But what does an author want to do? They want to communicate their message, right? My colleague, who you also met, I think, briefly, Emily Crookston, from the Pocket PhD. She's a ghostwriter. And as a LinkedIn strategist, she helps people communicate, she calls their big idea. So it's getting the big idea out. And so the what, it's okay, no, it's not a resume, but it's a book. And just kind of my background, working at a writing studio for quite a few years and cutting my teeth, so to speak, on academic writing, which is some of the most challenging writing, I would say, to work on. It gave me a really, really great foundation for working with authors who are getting their ideas out in the world. And I primarily work on books that align with the stuff we work with our clients on resumes. So it's business leadership, it's self-help. And what are you asking when you're working with a client? Like, you know, you learn about their leadership philosophy probably and how they manage things. So it's very complementary because I think of the genre, the genres I work in. And you had asked about some of my clients. So some of them, of course, they like everything confidential, and that is completely fine. One, a client that I've had for years who I co-authored The Third Paradigm with is Dr. Ivan Meisner, who's the founder of BNI. So I've been working with Ivan over the years. The first book I edited was the second edition of Networking Like a Pro. And I've been working on projects with him ever since. And we have another one in the works, Garage to Global, about scaling a business. And then actually another one with Ivan and R. John Robbins collaborating on a book about networking for lawyers. So and how all of this comes together, I feel like I'm talking at you, but I'll get to this compound question. How it all comes together is when you don't edit or write a book without learning the material. So I'm a much more informed career services consultant because, I mean, frankly, I know the language, a lot of the language around business leadership and all the things that come with that. And there's even a project I'm working on, I'm wrapping it up now, the man started as a client where we worked on the resume and LinkedIn. And oh, by the way, he has a manuscript that he's once helped with, and it's a business book. So it's all very complementary in that knowledge domain around helping yourself, self-help, and business leadership.
Well, Heidi, you bring up a great point about how your experience of working with the authors, learning the business language, understanding what employers are looking for, being able to really integrate business speak, quote unquote, if you will.
Yeah.
Understood. Why that, when you said that to me, I thought that is why it is so important when people want to work with a career professional that they understand their background, that they interview them, they really get to know them, because we all bring different things, right?
Yeah.
I have my HR perspective, you have that authorship, and that's how you have, you know, have harnessed a lot of your value in there. And to some people, maybe none of that matters, but to some people, it absolutely might. But I do think in our world today, when you can go on LinkedIn and see everybody's giving career advice, and there's really no barrier to entry. Folks out there listening to this, please really look and listen and interview and ask questions of the career partner that you're partnering with. Because just because somebody got a job at a company you wanted doesn't necessarily mean that they're appropriate to help you with your search. So
that's a great point. And I think it speaks to knowing that, you know, I'm not a great fit for everybody. You're not a great fit for everybody, right? But we have plenty of people we're a great fit for. And one of the kind of the types or profiles of people I work with are PhDs. So people who have PhDs, and they, when I talk with them, it's often this almost like this sense of relief, because they're like, you get me.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't really matter what discipline you have a PhD in, the process, like, it's often an arduous process, is the same, generally speaking, whether you're in the hard sciences, whether you're in the humanities, doesn't really matter. The sense of what does it take to earn a PhD? What does that often look like? Lots of short part-time jobs and TAing and research and public speaking and all this stuff. So I'm a great fit for those people. And on the other hand, there's some people that I'm not a great fit for. So I agree with you. I think it's really important to have those initial conversations with people, and also putting yourself out there on LinkedIn so people can vet you to align to make sure, is this person the right fit for my needs and what I'm looking for?
Yeah, that's great. You mentioned LinkedIn, because I did want to talk about that in developing a content strategy. But let me just tell you that when you had talked earlier, last time we'd spoken, and about Dr. Ivan Meisner, I was in a BNI when I first started my business. So his name was very familiar to me.
Yeah, you were.
And I think a lot of people that have done BNI in the past or may still be in it. And I have a lot of friends that still do. So I think they're going to find that very interesting. But what I also hear in there, again, is there's a lot more than just the networking in the room and that kind of thing, is that expertise that comes with that. And it's all really just about developing business strategies and, more importantly, developing relationships.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, too, because I acknowledge it, like I said before, it can seem odd or different. Like, you work on books and you work with job seekers, but networking is so important for job seeking.
Yeah.
Networking is important in owning a business. And the principles of good networking, I would argue, apply to both. It may, the execution of exactly how does that look like with BNI, if you go every week and you have, for people don't know what BNI is, well, I'll say it's the world's largest business referral organization. There's chapters all over the globe. And I believe it's around maybe 30,000 at this point. You have weekly meetings. There's a lot of accountability built into it. And you have one-to-one meetings. And it's really about developing relationships with people. Well, what do we talk to job seekers about all the time? Right? Leverage your network. Develop relationships. When people talk about the hidden job market, that's often talking with people and finding out about jobs that are available or about to be available, but not yet. These are the same principles. So that's another area where if you've edited several books on networking, you really learn that material and you can see how it applies really to anybody who's proactively managing their career, whether that's a job seeker or a business owner.
So Heidi, you're talking about networking. You mentioned being on LinkedIn and putting yourself out there. What do you say to people when they say, I get that, Heidi, but I'm not comfortable on LinkedIn. I don't really understand what networking on LinkedIn is about. I don't have a content strategy. I don't have a brand. I don't really know what to do. What do you tell your clients? What is your recommendation as truly a master communicator and a storyteller?
So first of all, I really try to acknowledge their perspective and I make them feel not alone, because most of my clients are what I'd call reluctant LinkedIn users. Yeah. So much so that I say, you can read my blog article on 7 content sharing strategies for reluctant LinkedIn users, and that most people are on LinkedIn just because they know they're supposed to be. That's where it ends. And people, I think they feel seen. And most people know that they should. I try not to get into the shoulds, but if we're getting real about getting a job, there are best practices. Mm-hmm. And how I present it is, yes, the world, I can assure you, the world will continue to spin if you are not on LinkedIn and you're not sharing great content. But if you choose to be on LinkedIn and share great content, not just be a lurker, it has the opportunity to significantly accelerate the pace of you finding a good fit employment opportunity. So everything in life is about choices. So I'm not the person saying you have to, but am I the person kind of urging you? Usually, there's a few fields where it's still not as important, but we talk about developing bucket categories of what are the bucket categories of information that you want to share content on? So that helps, and I'd love to hear how you advise this too, but it helps reduce decision fatigue. So then it's more of, oh, does this fall into this category? And one of those categories even can just be supporting others.
Yeah.
Right? And saying the great job, or reposting, or being, or amplifying someone or an organization, their voice through a repost. But I find that helps. And I encourage them to be realistic. I'm not going to be the person saying you go from the sad imagery, see what posts they make, and it says nothing to see for now, to you have to post every day. I'm not going to tell people that they should do that. But if they can post once or twice a week, that would be great. And I'm very pragmatic about what feels like you can handle in a way that will make that you don't feel icky, because a lot of people feel icky.
Right.
And that you can schedule in your calendar. And I'd encourage people to schedule it. Because if you're not naturally prone to do it, then create an appointment. So then you hold the appointment to do it.
Oh, that's a great idea. That's great. Honey, I also want to say that I find that people they'll get on LinkedIn or job search. And then once they get their job, they become what I call fit and happy in the job. And then they let LinkedIn go. Then 5 years later, the business is sold. They're reorganizing. Something happens. They need to leave. There's not a promotional opportunity, whatever. Now they have to re-engage all over again. So I just want to put the word out there for folks listening that LinkedIn is a career management tool. Part of that, inside that, is for job seekers. And all of Heidi's principles are absolutely applicable to that, but they're also applicable to people that are in your jobs to continue to create just meaningful content, engagement, following people, saying a few intelligent words. And I don't mean writing War and Peace on anybody, but just, more than just great post, being able to just throughout the course of building that is part of your overall networking career development strategy. And LinkedIn has so many opportunities too, in terms of development, learning opportunities, networking. audio events, webinars, you name it, you can do it all.
Yeah. Well, and I think those are all amazing points. And one time somebody asked, like, well, why should I keep being active? I got my job. It's like, well, do you know how hard it felt to ramp up when you were unexpectedly laid off? Like, do you want to have to do that again? Because do you agree this is probably not the job you're going to retire from? And most people will say, yeah. Okay, so you're going to need to change jobs at some point. Do you want to start at zero? Or if on a scale of zero to 100, do you want to start at zero or do you want to start at 75? Right. And if you do those one post a week and a few DMs with people about like ICE and not just saying the congratulations, the auto generated stuff of someone got a promotion, but actually just taking the time out, write a little message. Congratulations. So happy for you. Hey, how are things going? Right. To keep nurturing the relationships that you've built. That can go a long way.
Yeah.
And what can I, idea? Yeah. Is what people sometimes don't realize is when you're active, that's when, like, on joke, you know, a job search really comes down to, it's really technical here, being known as someone who knows or does something.
Bam.
Right? Right? So you take the time to develop that. Then you have people reaching out to you. Hey, are you open for new opportunities? Right? And maybe you are fat and happy or however you put it. And no, but then you're still nice to them. You nurture that. You know that. And I know people who do this. Who are like, well, I know if anything ever went sour, I could go to contact David and I could be working at his company in a couple weeks if I wanted.
Yeah.
Yeah. Talk about career management.
Well, isn't that ultimately the goal? How many people do you talk to? I talk to them all the time that say, this is the first time I've ever had to look for a job. I've always just gotten it through word of mouth. Somebody's reached out. That's the position you always want to be in.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's fantastic. But you may find yourself, you know, in a different situation, but that is the ideal situation, right? So that's where you want to be able to position yourself. But let me ask you this, Heidi. What do you say to people, whether it's through your working with authors, whether it's working through with career changers, people that are getting their career marketing material, when they say, but AI, it's taken over everything. Maybe, why do I need you? Because can't I do it myself? Or I don't even believe anything on LinkedIn anymore because it all seems like it's AI content. What do I do? What is your response when you're talking to people about AI and what are your feelings as someone that is working with authors and authoring books, what do you think about it?
So, and that's, we could talk for 3 hours just on that topic. So, let me think about here ways to address this. So, first of all, I think that there's probably a certain group of people who will start using or already starting to use like AI, ChatGPT, to be working on their resumes. Mm-hmm. And they're probably would be DIYers anyways, kind of my thought.
Yeah.
And depending on their role in the field they're in, maybe it's enough. It could be.
I agree.
However, I caution people because I've also worked with, I had someone recently in my process, I use a questionnaire and we talk. So I go really deep into a person's background and interests and all that. And when I was asking, I'm like, well, tell me more when you wrote about this. Like, I'm not quite following. Tell me more about this. And the person's looking at it and they're like, yeah, I think it's just from ChatGPT. So I'm not sure. And we had a laugh about it, but the person used ChatGPT to help generate what they were filling out on the questionnaire. And the issue with that, so the good thing is if you're someone who's like, oh my goodness, I don't keep track of accomplishments. I've never really thought about what are my responsibilities. Well, please start keeping track of this now. But it can be a way that if you say, what does a typical project manager do? It's going to spit out a very general description, but it may prompt you to be like, oh, that's right, I do manage a budget for timelines. But you can have the, you can have ChatGPT generate something, but the resume is not only to get you an interview. It's to set you up for the interview you want to have. So as soon as you have something on your resume that you cannot directly speak to, and not just speak to, but speak to with excitement, that turns into a potential red flag for you. So I would just say that some people, it may be okay. However, you still need to be really, really savvy, because writing is thinking. Collaborating with someone like you and me, as I'm sure, I'm guessing your approach is highly collaborative as well. So I may be taking the lead with actually producing a document, but you're supplying me with information. Mm-hmm. And if we remember, writing is thinking. If you're not writing or collaborating with someone who helps you articulate your value, like you and I do, when do you do the thinking? It cannot just be when you're pressed in an interview.
Ooh.
So that is where I see, as of right now, like AI still isn't thinking for us. So we have, there may be a new stage that emerges in, okay, I have my documents. Now I actually have to study them and reflect on them and make sure I'm excited to talk about them. I don't see that as ideal, but I'm being realistic here. And when people, I forget some of the other parts of this compound question, but I think AI is going to be integrated. It will be continued to grow in integration. And I think the human factor is what is going to keep people differentiated.
Yeah.
And on LinkedIn, for instance, when you asked about that, like, you can almost tell now, not everything, but a lot of stuff, you can just tell when it's not a person. And I don't know, as much as writing training I have, I can't teach it of like, well, this is how you know it was AI. But you can just sense it when it's not quite, it doesn't land the way maybe it used to land when you read someone's posts.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. And I do believe that there is a huge opportunity for using like a ChatGPT, you know, to spur ideas in you. But you raise a great point about the interviews. And even though AI can be used to do interview training, LinkedIn has a great form for that.
You'd live too.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. At the end of the day, you are interviewing with a human being. The human being is making the decisions on whether or not you get that job offer. So there is a place for it. And on LinkedIn, while you may be seeing people that are using it for their to generate their graphics and for their posts, and maybe it seems kind of obvious, maybe you're not even sure anymore who to trust or what to trust or where things come from, continue to be who you are. Continue to be out there and to talk as much as possible in your own voice so people get to know you. Yes. And I do think on the long term, I guess my concern is, I think about it a little bit like my phone. What I mean by that is I'm from a generation where I didn't get my first cell phone until I was in my 40s. So, and I'm beyond that now. Okay, let's leave it at that. But my point is, once I got my phone, I started forgetting phone numbers. I have three children. I know the phone number for one of them. I don't even know the phone number for the other ones because I'm so reliant on my phone. Right. Yeah. In the old days of we knew everybody's phone number, or we knew how to get places. I can't get anywhere without GPS anymore.
Yeah.
Right. So those kind of things I see very similar to what we're talking about with that is that we will forget, because we'll rely so heavily on AI, we'll forget how to communicate in the most authentic ways. We will forget some of those things about, and I don't mean grammatical rules and whatever, because you can always get Grammarly to check that for you. Those aren't the things that matter. It's that human connection piece. And I think we're going to forget how to relate to each other at some level with that.
Yeah. Well, and so all of that. And I would even say, I absolutely agree with you. I've noticed that when I type, I feel like I'm a sloppier typer now because so much, you know, I use Google for Business and it will sometimes start filling in phrases, like it anticipates what I'm going to write, or Google Docs will, and like all the autocorrect. I feel like I'm sloppier, and that really bothers me. And in certain instances, and I acknowledge not everybody is going to work in a field where this matters, but if you ever have to write in front of somebody, like I screen share, I might be working on editing and collaborating on a resume live. If I'm typing and I can't spell like a basic word, or my client, who typically my clients are, I work with people who are published authors day in and day out, whether it's a book or whether it's articles, or, you know, who have their own writing credentials, and they see me not know how to use a semicolon, which, by the way, semicolons are undertaught in the US. Most people don't know how to use them properly, but most of my clients do. It would hurt my brand. And anytime you're in a meeting, if you're a designated note taker or something, anytime anything you're doing is projected, whether like literally visually on the wall, kind of old school, or collaborating through a Google Doc or something, yeah, there's something to be said or something to be articulated about losing that knowledge. That I think the people who still can write and articulate thoughts in writing without saying, "Hey, ChatGPT, I'm trying to write an email to resolve this conflict," right? I think those people are going to have an edge. I do fully believe that. It's not maybe that you won't succeed if you lose that ability, but I firmly believe that the top leaders of organizations are still going to have to be competent communicators.
I think the board of directors would expect that.
You would think
they're not going to say, "Bring it, Chad, in. Let's talk that way." No, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right about that. So I think that's important. So listen, yeah. Heidi, I cannot believe this has been so fascinating. We are almost on our time here.
I know.
We haven't even talked about everything, but let's kind of tie this up though, because I could just listen to you all day. But for the people that are listening here, in terms of career development, we talked about a lot of stuff, but what's the one or two things you really want people to take away from this in terms of what you'd like to see people do when they leave this conversation, or remember things that you're seeing out there, mistakes that are happening, risks you wish people would take? What do you got to say?
Yeah. So I'm a geek when it comes to quotes. And one is, I'm going to say attributed to Henry Ford. And if you go down the rabbit hole of Googling, you'll see that there's an asterisk next to this, but whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. Teddy Roosevelt, do what you can with what you have where you are. You can probably tell I'm not one for pity parties. Before we started recording, I was just talking about suck it up, buttercup.
I love that.
And I think to protect yourself, safeguarding yourself and your career, and just your mind, never, ever stop learning. You don't ever want to get stale. I'm a believer in networking, and I don't mean schmoozing with everybody, but deep, authentic relationship building. And just keep at it. If you're looking for a job, sometimes it can be tough, and it is. I'm not going to say it's not. So you just do your best. You control what you can. There are so many things out there that you cannot control, but there are also so many things that you can control. So you do everything in your power to have a really strong, strategic, well-executed job search campaign, and then kind of be at peace with the process, knowing that whether it's your first job or you are a CEO, frankly, it can feel inhumane to anybody. No one's protected. But if you acknowledge this is hard, this is part of the process, makes you feel a little less lonely, you have your network to rely on, and just keep believing like in yourself. That sounds so corny, but like believe in yourself, because job offers don't go to people who aren't confident. So work hard, stick with it, and you'll get where you want to be going.
Oh, I like that. Job offers don't go to people that I'm not confident. You're right. Because if you don't
believe it all the time,
if you don't believe in yourself, why should the employer? Right.
That is exactly what I say. I tell people, if you're not confident, you can do the job. You have no business thinking someone else is going to think you can do the job.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think that's a great place to leave it. And that's fantastic for today. Heidi, I want to thank you so much for joining us and sharing your insights. This is a completely different perspective that we brought to the career conversations in the past in terms of the authorship and the writing piece, really focusing more on the writing as opposed to a marketing piece. But we use that to market ourselves for jobs, for careers, for ideas, right? We're all constantly doing that. But I appreciate your insights today. And I very, very much appreciate you joining us. And I'm so glad that we've developed a deeper relationship too.
Likewise. Thank you again for having me. This is just such a pleasure.
Yeah, great. So listen, everybody, Heidi's information is going to be attached here to the video. We'll be dropping y'all her socials too. Please feel free to reach out to her, connect with her, get more information on here. I also invite you to subscribe to the Inspire Careers Spotlight on Careers channel here. Ring the bell so you get notified of the next videos that drop. And in the meantime, until we all meet again, live inspired.